Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they a government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part. You've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, by all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
These truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. The world is waking up, and this is the tipping point.
Scott, you're on mute. We can't hear you.
How are we now?
Now we got you.
So do I need to start over?
Yeah, it was the whole time.
Okay. Well, here we go. Ladies and
you
gentlemen.
Have a good show.
Thanks, man. Welcome to the Tipping Point on Revolution Radio. We're going again. My name is Scott McKay. This is the high octane, full throttle truth hammer that goes after every scumbag on planet Earth who has their boot heel on the back of the necks of humanity, face down in the mud, trying to drown them while they rape them of all their precious resources, including their families. So if you're brand new to this show, I would say brace for impact, because it's never pretty. It's usually muddy or bloody or both, because I'm the guy who finally stepped forward and said, we're going to end the bullshit of all this useless rhetoric where people absolutely will not tell the truth to the people in this country, in this world. And I decided if nobody's going to tell the truth, whether they're mainstream media, or online truthers, if they're not going to spell it out, if they're not going to say it, if they're not going to target the scumbags, call them out, call them what they are, spotlight them, attack them, I'm no longer going to wait another 15 years like I did. I'm going to have to do this myself. Otherwise, I would be sitting back somewhere doing something that would give me less visibility, riding my motorcycle, staying out of this public conversation, which I walked away from 16 years ago. Now here I find myself, because there are too many cowards in the mainstream media. There's actually too many cowards in the truther community online. In fact, I'm going to give you one example. How many people, when the attacks started coming on the Q intelligence operations, the movement that brought a lot of people out of nowhere, gave them something to talk about, and now, because YouTube will take down their channels, or they will get strikes, or they will be put on suspension if they mention the word Q, what did they start doing? They all stepped backwards. They backed up. They didn't have principles of courage. Instead of getting in their face, letting channels go down like mine have, 21 channels, what did these people do? They acquiesced to the power structure. They acquiesced to everything that they said they stand against. Unfortunately, it took me to have to do it. In fact, I don't actually walk backwards from it. I go down their throat, full throttle. I am, somebody called me a Q guy. A Q guy. What is a Q guy? Let me tell you something about the Q intelligence operation. And I said this a number of times over the last couple of years. We watched this in real time, studied it, analyzed it in real time as history was unfolding. Those people who've read this intelligence, if they draw any other conclusion than what you've heard from me, I'm going to tell you, they fall in one of two camps. They're either intellectually lazy or intellectually dishonest, because you can't land anywhere else when you look at all this intelligence. Number these guys out there online. They built a community. They built a channel because they had the ability to dissect and decode the Q intelligence information. They were good at it. But what happened when Q started to rescind or recede or disappear, or when Q would stop dropping posts? These same people had nowhere to go. They had nothing to talk about because they didn't have the background, the depth, the past history, empirical data. They hadn't studied for decades. They had nothing to talk about. They had a perspective that lasted only 15 seconds while the intelligence was coming out. So the reason I started the Tipping Point is because my perspective was 30 years long, 30 years of frustration, elective politics, going down many rabbit holes, pulling up everything I could, putting pieces of the puzzle before the intelligence ever even started to be dropped. And then I had the luxury of looking at everything from a long-term perspective, fitting the pieces of the puzzle together to show myself, and then I explained to the world, this is a de facto military presidency under Donald Trump. And simple fact is, it hasn't ended. It's still going. But all these people that won't mention Q on their radio show, or will not mention Q on their channel because they're afraid that they're going to be stripped down, what does that do? That's another point of cowardice. It's another position that people take to allow the enemy to beat them. And that's what doesn't happen. Now, they can take my channels down, folks. As you know, they've taken them down 20-something times. Doesn't matter to me. I'm going to get them back up when I get to tour out. I'll find ways around. They got algorithms now to attack me, keep me down. But I'm going to find people that are smarter than those douchebags that they have sitting in coding rooms. And I'm going to have them put up again. It's just going to happen. If what we've learned from this movement is that people now have learned to fight, my people don't rescind. They don't go backwards. They're not allowed to be pushed backwards. They step forward. We get attacked, we just throttle. Doesn't matter who it is. I don't care. Like I said, if it's Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, Tucker Carlson, who's tried to step forward, he's tried to put some information out, but he always seems to back up because these people have a paycheck. They've got a $30 million a year paycheck. They have a family to feed, of course. They got a lifestyle they need to maintain. So what do? They're not telling you what I tell you. They're not telling you what other truthers like myself in the community are willing to say because they need to keep their paycheck. My paycheck has always been affected because I never monetize my information. Most of you know that. They continue to take my channels down. Everybody else makes money on Patriot Street Fighter. There's probably 100 people out there taking all my work, making money, getting monetized by YouTube, which I'm happy. I tell them, somebody gets something out of those bastards. You know, Susan Wojcicki, she's dumb enough to pay other people for putting my work out, and they're distributing it far, far wider than I can. Great, we're beating them. Doesn't matter if they take me down, because I'll find a way back. But what I didn't do is I didn't look at a paycheck and say, well, I'm going to do this because I want to make sure I stay on the channel, stay online, and I'm going to start padding my bank account. That's the difference between me and Sean Hannity or Tucker Carlson or Laura Ingraham. These people have to know what I know. Why are they still working for the enemy? That's the question.
So now we're at a point in time where everybody has to pick a side. There's no gray area anymore. It's black and white. And if you are one of those people that are sitting on the fence, you're standing on the other side. You're working for the enemy because you don't have the courage to take a position. Inaction is a choice. Inaction is exactly the same as supporting the other side. We don't have time for that anymore. We know what's going on in the world of the adrenochrome machine, the child trafficking. Now we got the Biden clan in. They're trucking many, many thousands of kids in from Mexico. They're being shipped into the center of the country. They're being put in underground bases, deep underground military bases in the tunnels. They're being trafficked. They're being butchered. They're being raped. They're brutally sodomized. They're being hung on meat hooks under the White House. They're being gutted. All this horrible shit is going on. It actually was stopped under Trump. But now the machine's active again. And we do know that there are operations that have gone on under the White House where they've found thousands of kids dead, hanging on meat hooks. Soldiers that cannot unsee what they've had to see. Trauma-based situations that even Dr. Sandra Rose Michael, who travels with me, talking to the military, talking about the quantum technologies that they're using to help offload the trauma of everything they've seen. These things are going on, folks. These things are happening. Now, if I know this, then I guarantee you they know it. What are they doing about it? They're not doing a damn thing. They're still part of the machine. In my opinion, that is the enemy. The enemy is inaction, and the enemy is somebody who's willing to take a paycheck and keep their mouth shut. Fortunately for me, I cannot be shut up here in Revolution Radio because this is a free speech platform, worldwide distribution machine. It's become my information warfare platform. This is a home and a birthplace of Patriot Street Fighter. And I'll say this, if you folks are watching this here, revolution.radio, you'll see a button at the top, donate button. And if you want to support what we do and keep voices like mine on the world, on the air worldwide, go ahead and hit the donate button and support these people. Support all the people behind the scenes that are doing the hard work. I've got my producer, Sir Patrick Rabbit, Mr. Rowe, always getting videos to me afterwards. There's a whole host of people that run this operation. A lot of these people are working for free. So if you'd like to contribute to what they're doing, keep this machine stable and growing, you're going to keep people like myself and all the others that have radio shows on this particular platform alive so we can keep fighting this battle. You'll notice there's also a Patreon button at the top. It's orange. You can click that on. You can also set up a monthly payment, a few bucks a month or a lot, whatever you feel. And if you'd like to send snail mail, there's an address for Terry Ackerman, one of the producers, at the bottom of the page. Scroll down there. Make a check out to Revolution Radio and send it off. These people are the ones that give me the voice. These are the people that will not shut me down unless I drop a fork bomb. Not Patriot Street Fighter style, but a real fork bomb. Other than that, I have full latitude to bring this war to these scumbags around the world, the royal families, the Vatican, the religious order, all the presidents other than JFK, Ronald Wilson Reagan, or Donald Trump. Outside of that, the rest of them are paid criminal scumbags. Congress, the crime syndicate, as it has been for many, many decades. I don't care who your favorites are in there. Virtually every one of them are criminals and scumbags. There's a few like Louis Gohmert and Jim Jordan, handful of those guys that are fighting the fight. But the vast majority, right up to probably just a handful, half a dozen. If it was a dozen, I'd be stunned, that are actually good people. But these people, once they get in Congress, once they get in power, I don't care if they're threatened, bribed, extorted, it doesn't matter to me. If that begins and they stay there, that makes them a criminal. And that's what most of them do because they figure they're going to get theirs and they're going to do it at the expense of the people. That's why I target them. That's why I go after people like James Franklin, the coach of Penn State, who I've identified as enemy number one of Penn State, another scumbag, because he's coercing the kids with a signed football or $1,000 sweepstakes bullshit lottery or whatever he's doing to get them to take the shot so they can fill up the football stadium. The problem that we have in our society today is we put reverence in people because they accomplish in a certain area of life. And I said at Penn State that if they want to come after me, Coach Franklin, come out. Come out from behind your position. Come out onto my stage. Come out into the light. Let me introduce you to my friends, Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Judy Mikovits, who could bury you for what you're saying to these kids to try to get what you want. You're either a paid cabal player or you're an idiot because what you're doing is truly the highest stakes against humanity, especially our young kids. And there's no excuse. So if you have a hard time with my rhetoric, As you know, I don't really give a shit. People have learned that about me. Nobody's getting a free pass. This is a full throttle, high octane attack machine, truth hammer. And anybody that steps into crosshairs of the Patriot Street Fighter, it's for very good reason, because I sat on the sidelines for decades watching your bullshit unfold. And now that you are coming full speed ahead to bring down humanity, then we're going to take the gloves off. And I know I stand in churches and I say the same thing. I won't drop fork bombs, but everything else is on the table. And I can tell you this, we're going to win. We're coming, because these churches that now have the Patriot Street Fighter on their stage should tell you something. These pastors are ready for war. And I said before, if people have a problem with the way I fight this war, if God's going to send the Archangel Michael down here, he's coming with a sword. Heads are going to be lopped off. Blood's going to flow. It's going to be horrible. That's the way you have to see this. And again, if you're these spiritual leaders today that are not taking the same position for your flock and taking the same stance, I'm targeting you too, because you wield great influence, great power. And if you're going to stand back like a milquetoast pussy and not fight this war on behalf of the people, because you're going to allow the enemy to use your virtues against you, then I'm going to have to square that up too. Doesn't happen over here, and it's not going to. So anyways, that's why we're here. We're traveling around the country right now, taking this message to the world. And we ended up in Lexington, Kentucky today. We're in a beautiful center called, yeah, how about it? Got a bunch of people here. Yeah. We got a room full of people here. And they came out to see our tour here. They gave us a great venue today at Legends Ballpark, right? It's a minor league ballpark. So, man, I never saw me standing in a ballpark talking to somebody, anybody, you know? I'm just a guy with a hot dog and a beer watching somebody else do the talking. So, you know, shit is happening in the world if they have Scott McKay standing in a ballpark. I should have went up there with my tomahawk and kind of, yeah. But if I couldn't do my Herman Munster dance, then obviously I would have probably fallen down trying to swing my tomahawk. So anyways, we're at the ballpark today, had a great venue, met some great people. Now we're at Zenergy Quantum Healing Center right here in Lexington, X-E-N-E-R-G-Y. And we're going to interview the owner, X-E-N-E-R. Say it again.
No, X.
Oh, Z. Oh, Zenergy, that's right. Z-E-E-R-G-Y. Zenergy. You got that, people? Write that down. Right here in Lexington. So I'm actually standing in a room that has Dr. Sandra Rose Michael's quantum technology. So I'm just watching a number of screens roll down like the Matrix, except it's DNA code and not numbers. And I'm standing here broadcasting because I need a little help, because this quantum, you folks know this as MedBed technology, same type of technology. Dr. Sandra Rose Michael, traveling with us, has been putting this out since 1978. She's highly regarded by the military. She is protected by the military. She has great military contacts because this is part of our future. So she has Quantum Healing Center alliances around the country. That's where we are today. So I figure the longer I stand in here, something good might happen with all this clanking metal in my body. Plus, I had a Reiki treatment. I get a lot of energy practitioners working on me from remotely all over the country. You know, I really should. I should wake up one day and look at X-rays, and there's no metal in me, like dematerialized. That would be. It's going to come sooner or later. So what we are doing here, folks, is the same thing we've done everywhere else. We're getting a chance to listen to the people talk about how they've come out and are starting to fight. It is a common theme. I think this is our 20th stop now. There are going to be more. But the common theme is this, Scott. Since we started listening to Patriot Street Fighter, we now are in the fight. And I'm telling you, it's the biggest honor that I've ever had in my life to be told that I was helpful in helping people make decisions to fight and giving some instruction on how to do it, where to start. And so I don't take any of that lightly. Every day of my life now on this road is remarkable in the fact that I get to ride my bike every state in the country. And I get to meet these wonderful people that are letting me know that the message is valid and they're taking it to heart and they're taking the war to the enemy. So we did come out of Anaheim this weekend. Many of you know we flew in for Clay Clark's event. Finally got a chance to meet General Flynn. I've been to three events with General Flynn. Never had a chance to meet him. People said, why the hell? How can you be near General Flynn, not get a picture or meet him? And I made a remark. It wasn't disrespectful to the general of last time, but I said, look, simple fact is I'm not a green room kind of guy. Being with the people is where I belong, because that's what builds the army. Having a picture with General Flynn does not help me win my war. What helps me win my war is recruiting 500,000 Patriot street fighters. So that's why I spend all of my time out there with the people. I remember being attacked early on when I first got on the RDS tour. I was being told that I was a poser. Guys, just a poser. Call it what you want. I really don't give a shit. Simple fact is that the magic of this whole movement is we the people. And if I got to stand in line for 3 or 4 or 5 hours, I've done it as long as 8 hours in a day, I'm going to be with the people because I know what that does for me. And they tell me it does the same for them. We make bonds. We make very, very strong, deep energy connected bonds. It'll never stop. We're tethered forever because we're all fighting the same war. And unless you are one of those people of that higher level of consciousness, I just said what I said in Chinese to you. You don't understand it. And that's okay. You don't belong into the conversation. All the people that have a high level of consciousness, they totally understand what happens when we gravitate toward each other in these settings, because what happens is this massive quarantine temporal love bubble surrounds all of us. We're all protected. We all have each other's backs. It sends an energy frequency out into the universe, raises human consciousness on the entire planet, including the ascension being Mother Earth. And it can't be affected in any other way except upward. That's what happens. But those people who don't come out, who think it's a waste of time, who don't want to come out and talk to the people, they don't belong in this temporal love bubble or this energy field. They just don't belong there. That's the difference of what this tour means to myself and to everybody else. And we're going to continue marching this around the country for the rest of this year, possibly. Going to retool a new tour after this week is over. Going to retool it. Going to reverse engineer a new tour coming up. Going to get another rig, get something a little bit nicer for the boys because they like to be taken care of in style as they deserve it. So we're going to reverse engineer it, and we're going to go back across the country so we can hit all the places that the people who expected me to be and this team to be, who were disappointed because of what happened. We're going to make sure that we make good on all that. So you can expect that. Now, what I'm going to do tonight, see where we are into this. We're halfway into the first hour. So again, I did this a week or two ago. I brought all of you into an event that we did so you can hear what we're doing. So what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to let some of our audience or our friends here, they're an audience today. They're here for a VIP dinner and they're all hanging around here. So I'm just going to have some of them come up here to me and I'm going to have them give you their viewpoint on what this tour means to them, what they're seeing and why they showed up here today. So let's bring, who's first? Yeah, let's bring Brittany. Brittany's right here. So we're going to bring on Brittany Seaball. She's Lee Dundas's assistant. And the reason I want you to listen to her is because I gave her a ride in my Harley Davidson. First time she's been on a bike in her whole life. Now I had to peel her off like Velcro off the seat. She just doesn't want to. Anytime she hears the pipes on that bike turning on, I can see her. She wants to come running over. Give me a helmet. But Brittany's work, one of the people behind the scenes, have worked their tail off. And she's seen a lot from the very beginning. She's been on the tour. So I'm going to have Brittany Seaball tell you why she's excited about being on this tour, what she's seen, and what that experience is actually meaning to her. So let's get up here on her feet, your front and center. No camera, so this is going to be very easy. Okay. So just tell the audience what you've experienced by being on this tour.
So I joined with Lee Dundas when she was first asked. I'm actually a nurse, was working in the ER, and it's been rough the last year or so, just all the manipulation. And so they didn't sign my contract because the hospital was too slow, I was out of work and Lee was needing help. And, so yeah, I just decided I would take off the summer, just do some volunteer work. I love the message that she was giving people. I love that she was getting people to rise up, go to their school board meetings. We were doing that a lot in Orange County. It was very effective. We were able to at least temporarily stop some of the vaccine passports going on out there. So I joined her, and I've also been watching a lot of Scott here and a lot of other people, and love the message that they were sharing and wanted to do something for my country and people. So I decided to help her out. It's been quite the adventure.
hasn't it? What are your favorite parts about your experiences being around all these people that we get to see every day?
I mean, it's great hanging out with true patriots that are fighting for our country, that understand how important it is, understand what freedom means. I mean, I think a lot of us, I've done traveling before. My parents come from Germany. So I feel like a lot of us understand what's at stake here, the freedoms that we have, that we're grateful for that. A lot of people these days are, they don't understand. They take it for granted. They don't know anything better. They haven't been. I've traveled. I've done medical missions. I've been to over 60 countries. I've seen what third world countries are like. I've seen what happened in Germany. I'm grateful every time I come back to live in this country. And so seeing what's happening and seeing that stripped away is just devastating. And so being able to be with people who love their country, they're not afraid to wear, you know, a flag on their shirt or say, God bless America, is the best part.
So what's your greatest experience outside of riding on a motorcycle in Sturgis that you've had
since you've been on the tour? I think, again, just meeting people. I mean, even this weekend in Anaheim, it is amazing to get to see, you know, it's funny because, like you were saying with General Flynn, I mean, back in the day, I feel like I never was big about meeting Hollywood stars. That was never important. And but it is really cool to see some of these people who are stepping up, who are standing out, and who have overnight become heroes because of just fighting for their country. So I think the people that I've got to meet has by far been the best. I mean, getting to watch you guys every day, you know, your speeches, speaking out, having people come up and saying, hey, look, I was on the front of the newspaper because I went to my school board meeting and, you know, actually made a difference. And so I think that's been the coolest part. And it's great not having to wear masks.
Yeah. Yeah, if you wear a mask around us anywhere near the Patriot Street Fighter House, you get the shit beat out of you. Like, there's a guy walking by the bus. Tackle him, get him away from the bus. Get him out. Leave him up.
I know.
So how old are you?
I'm 33.
Are you 33?
Mm-hmm.
She looks like she's 23. I'm actually stunned. I honestly thought you were 26. 33. Thank you. Okay. Interesting. Well, for somebody in her age range to do what she's done, travel medically, in the medical industry, that's like you're a free spirit, obviously. You got some courage. You just go out there, travel the world. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, let's face it, bringing on a threat of like hanging around Patriot Street Fighter brings some real risks. She's not afraid. Here she is.
I've traveled a lot by myself. I've been held up with machete knives in Italy. So I don't know. I've been through a lot, but.
Well, I'm going to teach her when we're going through a liberal city. She's on the back of my bike. I'm just kind of flipping both fingers as she rides through New York City. So we're going through a Patriot Street Fighter bike. She's too cute. They still won't be able to get mad at her. But, well, thank you for that. We're honored to have you. The cool thing about this is that we've all become buddies. She's like mm-hmm. buddies with my security team, and we're just all buddies. We've got a bus driver that I know this is odd to understand, but it pisses me off because he's a great chef. So I just said, look, I knew I was going to go to, you know, downhill by being on this bus. I didn't know a guy's going to be cooking cakes and pies mm-hmm. and all this. We got a grill and a smoker now. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm going to end up with a pool float by the time this is done around my waist. But just that all of us to be together having this kind of fun, it's just, look, it's mm-hmm. it's really a miracle vacation for us. Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, it's traveling around the country doing this. So mm-hmm. I will say this, I think it's very important, is that there's only one reason why this tour is even workable, because we the people are financing it. We the people, you are the donors to make this whole thing happen. And that can never go unsaid. It can never be understated, because it's you people that made this happen. Mm-hmm. I've said this before. What I don't want to have people do is see me walk off of this big bus and all of a sudden they get treated with this reverence. Like, look at Scott coming off this big bus, how amazing and powerful. That's all bullshit. That's the architecture that the power structure has built when they built these massive, these huge ivory towers. When you have some clown beside you that never did anything in life, he finds a way to lick enough boots over enough years to get elected to go to Congress from Podunk, Pennsylvania, wherever, goes into these ivory towers, walks out,
all of a sudden everybody wants to bow down to him. Oh my goodness, they must be something special and important. I can't believe that this clown actually became one of those people, and we have reverence for them. That is part of their architecture. That's by design, so we the people don't challenge these idiots who really are smart enough to occupy these positions of power. And that's why I say, you know, the bus is yours. It's funded by we the people. And if all of you people didn't come out and start, you know, donating online or and handing us money and all these things, that blows me away. That to me still, I have a hard time getting my head around the fact that everywhere we go, it's like here, here, here. I was at one day in Anaheim, here, $600 I walked away with. This, and there are thousands of dollars. It's been going on for a long time. And it just blows me away that these beautiful people come out and say, here, I have $15. It's all I can afford, but I want to support your mission. That to me is incredible. Or here's $500. And it happens every single day. So I wish everybody could experience it from my side. You know, the best thing for me is I get to hug a ton of pretty chicks all over the country. It's like, how could I not love this? So anyways, thank you, thank you, thank you. Spectacular. Glad to have you here on our tour. This made a lot of fun. So we are going to bring up the owner, or no, we're going to bring up Carol. Okay. Carol has a specialized field. It's another one of these practitioners that's going to work on this wreckage that I call a human body. And what I find fascinating is this tuning fork technology type of sound healing that you do. So can you introduce yourself, talk about this healing methodology, how long you've been doing it, and what the results of this type of healing power is?
Yeah, I'm Carol Gailey, and I live here in Lexington. I actually started training in releasing trauma 30 years ago. I was working in a rural area and in a church, and I couldn't work on anybody but myself. I found I had a lot of trauma and was working on that. About 11 years ago, tuning forks crossed my path, and I said, that's for me. And because music is important to me, but frequencies is really where it's at for me. And so I trained using tuning forks, and I work all over bodies. I just spent the weekend at a festival where people would come in and want to have a little tune-up or something. And so I do that. And the healer part of me adds to the tuning forks, but the frequencies themselves work at a cellular level. And they allow the body to open itself up to its natural healing process. And I just add an intention and say, okay, we're going to work on this. We're going to work on that. And it starts unraveling the issues that a person is dealing with. And they can feel some relief or some changes right away. Sometimes it takes longer than that, but, you know, everybody's different. And so I've been doing this work for this long. I find it very beneficial to myself. I work on myself. And ask me another question.
You are going great. I mean, the thing I love about people that have this kind of knowledge, I just let them go. You make my radio show look good when I have nothing to fill in there. So how does somebody get a hold of you if they want to reach out and have some time or sessions with you?
Well, right now I'm working part-time out of Zenergy, okay, right here. So they can contact me through the Zenergy spot. Okay. I do am reachable through email. I don't have a very valid website, so I'm sorry about that. But calling the Zenergy place or contacting them is a good way to find me.
Okay, so by the way, that's Zenergy with a Z. And what is the contact number here? I'm asking you. Your facility, right?
Mine.
Your facility, okay.
251-281-1166.
What's the website?
TheZenergySpa.com.
That's Zenergy, Zenergy, spa.com. What is your name?
My Rebecca.
Why didn't I was introduced to you. You just came over and gave me a hug. I'm like, what's her name? Yeah. Rebecca.
That's another pretty lady.
Yes. Yeah, I'm speechless. This is Rebecca here, folks. And what's the address here?
465 East High Street.
465 East High Street, Lexington, Kentucky. Okay, so obviously you can see there are various modalities here, Carol being one of them. But I want to bring the owner over here and let's talk about why, two things.
Okay.
Why you hosted this event here for us tonight. Then I want to talk about this particular choice of healing as a career. What got you here? And I like the idea of that answer because everybody knows that quantum physics is my passion. So you're in the space that I believe is, you know, the realm where people are going to learn who they really are, and the Christ consciousness is going to be, you know, rising. So, so first of all, why did you host us here?
So I guess it goes back to, we call her Dr. Rose, but Dr. Sandra Rose Michaels. I was attending her lectures years ago. And this used to be formerly Lexington Center for Integrative Health. I was working next door. I'm an acupuncturist. And I was just drawn to this room. I was like, whoa, what's this? And
describe this room.
Oh, please don't ask me that. I'm not a biophysicist.
I see we're in a room up high. We've got about
eight
monitors. And there's TV. They're basically computer monitors.
Yeah.
But you see rolling down over the screen, some at slow speed or some are rolling up, some are rolling down. High speed, slow speed, kind of like the Matrix numbers rolling down. Except these are DNA sequences.
Right.
And they have a quantum effect on the human body, the cellular level.
Yes.
So that's the kind of room we're standing in. So
absolutely.
I expect when I walk out of here, I'm going to feel like Superman when I'm done.
You're going to feel better. Yeah. Andor could have a detox reaction. Detox. Drink your water today. And she actually says a 20-minute salt bath, not magnesium salt, but for 20 minutes, 2 cups of salt.
Two cups.
Yeah. So, and Epsom salt, not Epsom salt, excuse me, baking soda to alkalize the water.
So baking soda and then?
At 1 cup and then 2 cups non-iodized salt, like, you know, we sea salt. Yeah.
Or Himalayan.
I was
in here for 20 minutes and all of a sudden I had to go outside because I had a sweat.
Yeah.
That just came off. And then I was like, went outside, there's nice breeze. And then I was like, oh, I feel great.
Yeah.
So somebody gave me at a quantum healing center, Dr. Jody in Anaheim.
Yeah.
So I walked away with Dr. Jody.
Yeah.
She's great.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be there 2 days ago, staying overnight again, but I got just so busy. So she gave me a little barrel of salt. So I'm going to do this tonight. I have some baking soda.
Good.
So,
a cup.
Dan, you're going to stay out of the bathroom. I'm taking it, soaking it. I'm doing it. Okay. So why did you choose to host this event?
So it started there. I mean, I think I'd gotten tidbits of, I came back to Kentucky. Well, just to back it up, in the 90s, I became a body worker. I went out to New Mexico, came back here. There were 6 massage therapists. And my friend who hosted or did our catering, we've taught together at our local massage therapy center. So that was my start of my healing and just starting to awaken body, mind, spirit. And essentially that led just eventually went back to acupuncture college. And I was mainly focused on healing body, mind, spirit. I think that, you know, I've created 7 generations forward, 7 generations back. That's why I came back to Kentucky to heal some very deep wounds of this land. But anyway, she speaks to me. I mean, she speaks about healing, but also she also started dropping some bombs. Like, have you heard about UN 20, 21, 30? I mean, I'm looking back through my notes like 5 years ago, you know, and I'm just like, okay, so thank you for throwing me that little tidbit. I was so focused on healing for so long, but then it's like, okay, got to a good point. I'm like, okay, it's time to start paying attention to what is going on. And then this whole pandemic thing hit, and I mean, it just revved it up. So I've just been on this huge learning experience, especially through that last year of like, what the F, you know, what, I mean, it's right there, people, if we do not do something. And, you know, it was just this whole last year was just, it was hell. Karen's everywhere, you know, got called out, you know, we didn't get turned in, but you know, we've lost friends over this. It's just been really intense. So that's why, I mean, I just honestly,
more familiar with Dr. Rose, Sasha, and just started getting into listening to you. And I'm just like, okay, yep, that's it. That's it. You know, got to listen to this and piecing together. It's what was the meme? It's like, have we forgotten how to piece together the dots of like what is going on? And so the, I guess it was, we all have bullshit detectors, but Fauci the first time got on and tried to defend that this wasn't a virus created in a lab. And I was like, I told Sean, I was like, he's lying. Oh my God. And so, and that was like what, last March or something. So yeah, I believe we got to do this. I'm a patriot, you know? Yeah, I'm here. And I want to do, and this landed in our lab and we're just so blessed. So thank you for allowing us to host this. So thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. I mean, one point you just made that I want to follow up on this is I've said this numerous times and people have to understand this. We've heard that we're losing friends, we're losing family.
Yeah.
The birth canal is not the identifier of your family.
Right.
Right. That's just a pipeline, a portal into this realm, this density.
Right.
So I tell people, you're not losing your friends or family. You're gaining them.
They're That's here. True.
It's a conscious realm. So we here in this universal construct called the quantum realm are finding each other like mercury
yes,
balls.
Absolutely.
So we're coming together. And all these other people are being cleared off the table. Yeah. These are the people that have, they've actually probably either caused you to rescind in your spiritual ascension or at least flatline it, because that type of consciousness on a daily basis in your life is affecting you in a negative way, even if you don't know it. Mm-hmm. You may love these people. They may be friends of yours. It's like I say this, I have sort of my own construct of friends in my world. Mm. I put people in boxes. This box right here in front of me is the box where this person I trust implicitly with my life. They're never going to lie to me.
Right.
They're not going to head fake me. They're not going to bullshit me. They're not going to do anything that's going to harm me in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
And I have boxes over here. This person over here, they're full of shit. I love them. They're good people, but that's how they are. Mm-hmm. Somebody over here, this person lies. This person's lazy. And I just put them in boxes. I love them all.
Yeah.
But here's one box. If you leave this box, this one here in front, you never get it back.
Mm-hmm.
You lose my trust. You never get it back. It's gone
yeah.
forever.
Yeah.
So what this does, this construct of what we're dealing with now through this wake-up call, this great awakening, is the same action. You're now bringing the people into your primary key box right here mm-hmm. that's going to be part of your future in the quantum realm as we ascend from this third density experience into the fourth density as this earth is transitioning mm-hmm. as its own sentient being into fourth density.
Right.
So we're pulling all of us together. And that raises the entire collective consciousness of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So when people can just let this go, family members or friends that do not raise their vibration and forget about it and let them go, mm-hmm. then it's going to affect the consciousness of everybody around you to a higher level. This is an anchor. It doesn't make them bad people.
Right.
Just in this evolution of whatever, you know, experience they're going through for the you know, millionth time or whatever it is, it's not up to us to drag them with us. They may need more cycles, more evolutions, maybe a million of them, because they have to learn and grow on their own.
Absolutely.
So I tell people, don't hang on to it. Focus on those people around you mm-hmm. because you'll find it. You notice how you fall in love with people faster now?
Mm-hmm.
Because the vibration on the planet is so high that you meet people and, you know, you instantly fall in love with them
mm-hmm.
and they stay with you. They stay in your consciousness. They stay in your thoughts. And so that's the transition we have to be prepared for.
Mm-hmm.
We have to allow ourselves to have that hit us and allow ourselves to be absorbed into it. So mm-hmm. I tell people, do not get hung up on the friends or family that are not in the place where they're supposed to come along as we ascend.
Yeah.
So that's a very primary key point.
Yeah.
Glad you brought that up.
It is a process. And by the way, you're kind of almost right in the Taurus of this room. We have sleepovers a lot. We call it timelining, where we manifest. So this monitor is connected to that monitor, but they're on different times. So they're creating a Vesica Pisces. So we like create by feeling and just with your passion. And, you know, like I see a world that is natural and organic, no chemicals. You know, I see the oceans and the rivers, they're clean, the trees, there is stewardship of our beautiful earth. You know, I mean, so we have parties like this all the time. So that's so cool and right on that you're like speaking almost right in the center of the room. So, yeah. So it was a process
So you realize that we, for a very long time, have been the weirdos of the world, right?
I started my story with, like, there were six massage therapists when I came back to Lexington, and then I always was drawn out back out west, brought information back, acupuncture college, same thing. And then now we own this business, which I don't know if you've seen all our bells and whistles, but dude, how do you explain this kind of, you know, it's like, it's just who I am. It's my karma. And I've always brought, like, I mean, I just, that's, and I love that.
You're
you know,
a light worker.
Committed for over 25 years now. So anyway, what was your other question? I forgot.
It was, you know, you basically answered all of them. Why did you host us here?
Oh, okay.
And how did you come into this realm of healing?
Oh, just supposed to be.
Yeah.
Just, it was my calling.
Yeah. It's a ballsy move whenever you don't know if people are actually going to come to toward you whenever you set it up when it wasn't the, you know, the end time for people to.
Well,
now everybody wants to hear about it.
But it's been an evolution for me, just like a development. It's like now, it's on. I mean, it's really on, truly. So, and it's not stopping, I don't think. I mean, so yeah. Thank you
for that. I'm glad my audience got a chance to hear that.
Thank you.
My pleasure. And let's see, we're going to break here in about 5 minutes. Dennis Ketchum, on your feet, my friend. This gentleman here, folks, is one of my favorite security guys. And he was the first one that pointed out to me what an impact that this whole tour and Patriot Street Fighter movement is all about. I'm going to let him tell you the story. We had this experience right outside of the Dallas event we did. And it had probably the biggest impact on me. This is Dennis Ketchum, 24-year Navy SEALs. He's glued to my side. And one of the most valuable friendships I've ever had in my life, one of the most important people will always be for me. But I'd like him to tell you what his experience is inside of 5 minutes we got. And
trust me,
not too much time. So when we first connected, and
right.
you came out with us on an event, we met in Tulsa,
actually,
for the first time. We met through the initiative that I tried to start. We haven't completed it yet. Which was Operation Restoration, bring highly trained special operators off the bench to bring them into the public and start helping us go after these scumbags at the small level school boards.
Right.
So that's what brought you. We met in Tulsa. You shattered me ever since. So what has this done for you being on this tour?
I mean, it's changed my life. I mean, just meet all the people we meet all the people we work with in our circle. I mean, it's just tremendous for me personally. I mean, it's kind of selfish because it does a hell of a lot for me just being around all you guys, you know? So, I mean, just being around all these people is just a tremendously good thing. Makes you feel good. It makes you, you know, Michael Jaco calls it the love bubble. And I tend to agree with that. You know,
I bet you never thought you'd hear Navy SEALs talk like this. I love being in the love bubble.
Yeah, it just seems like it's a big love bubble. I mean, it seems like everyone's so in tune with everybody else that I mean, it's just crazy how awesome it is. I mean, to meet you and to meet everyone I've met, you know, and you said it before, just so quickly be drawn to everybody. It's just amazing because that doesn't happen to me ever. I mean, I'm the type of person, I hate everybody. Yeah, I mean, I don't normally like anybody, but I mean, on this tour, it's like, you can't not like just about everybody we've ever met in here. So it's crazy.
We're all alike. That's why you don't like when you have very high principles and high standards of decency and honor, integrity, especially the training you've done all those years. You expect the highest and the best from anybody around you because all the men that you worked with were those people. You come into modern day society in retirement, you're like, what the hell happened to society? Is everybody a scumbag? Is your neighbor, you know, going to be this way? I mean, how's it even possible people be so inconsiderate and not be cognizant of the stupidity of their decisions around, you know, everybody in their space? They just don't care. One of the things that you said to me that I found fascinating was that you told me, you said, this is the first time since I retired, I feel like I'm working with the teams again. And that's SEAL teams. He said, I feel like I'm actually with the teams again.
Without a doubt.
And we're fighting a war together.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like I say that the bus is like, a, you know, you close the front door to the cabin, the driver's cabin. It's kind of like being in a submarine. He's totally at home there. I'm just like, we're not dropping you off in a lake or anything. We're just going to stay in the highway.
Yeah.
But yeah. I found that why you being away from home, his wife, you know, wonderful lady, two twin boys, I keep saying, are they okay with this? And they're like, no, they know what's happening. They know that we're out here trying to save the country. And being in that environment is totally, totally, you're prone to be in that environment. It's not foreign to you because it's what you've done for so long. And I find that pretty, which basically he's including me in some lateral fashion as, you know, one of these magnificent war fighters. So at least I'm extracting that, putting it on myself because it makes me feel like
it's so, absolutely true.
Yeah, listen to see if we have, yeah, we got a little time here. We'll start hearing music come in. But anyway, so so moving forward, as we retool this new tour, does that mean you're going to commit to coming along?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. I won't put him on the spot in front of everybody so he doesn't, so he doesn't say no.
Yeah.
So folks, that's really what's happening out here. And all I can tell you is that we are going to continue to fight this war. I don't know how long I can keep this rig on the road, as long as we have funding to do it. I'm going to keep driving this rig wherever we need to. And yes, we're going to come into your city, the ones that you expected us to be there, and we weren't able to. And we're going to come into the blue states. We're going to drive that bus right down their throats. And let them know that there's a new sheriff in town, Patriot Street Fighter and his team. Scott McKay, Tipping Point, Revolution Radio. We will be right back after the break.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind.
Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch The Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's The Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect
us. You don't need to expect us.
We're already here.
We're already here.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
That you all.
Ladies and gentlemen, Scott McKay coming back at you live on Revolution Radio. Second hour of the show. Now we're not on mute again. Glad to have you back. So, yeah, I don't want you to hear all the noise back here. So we just had a wonderful first hour. And we have a couple guests that I want to introduce you to, one being Sasha Stone and one of our hosts here, Gwen. We are at the Zenergy Wellness Center here in Lexington, Kentucky. So, Gwen Jones, tell us who you are, why you have us come to this venue to bring this tour here, and what it is that you do in this quantum healing space.
Okay. So, I just heard you all were having the Arise Freedom Tour, and we're familiar with Dr. Sandra, and we just knew, I knew that you all needed to come here, so I was bugging her, even when you all were still with the other group, that you all had to come here to educate the people here. So, and I wanted to sponsor it to help land. We were having trouble landing the venues, and so I was able to do some of the sponsorship and get us at the ball field. And that was my pleasure to do. So I wanted to help solidify that to make sure we got you here. And then as far as what I do, excuse me, I've worked in the medical field for 28 years as an occupational therapist. And I had some health challenges come up and the medical field didn't serve me well. I was misdiagnosed and that sort of thing. And I knew that I had to heal myself. So I started doing some research on my own, and I found some new tools, different technologies, and they really helped me in getting back to my wellness. And I just said that's what I need to do. So I do biofeedback. Okay. So I can
explain
do
that. What is that?
Well, I use a particular biofeedback program, and it works off of it looks like a bionic mouse that you put your hand on. And what it does is it sends what's called virtual stimulus imagery into the body, and the cells of the body respond back to it. And it talks to me in numbers. And so like if, and I'll share something else briefly about that, but, and so I can scan anything. I can scan viruses, bacterias, hormones, parasites. I can do a mock-up blood work. I actually did, unfortunately, I shouldn't have done it years ago. I did that 23andMe. The saliva test. And I actually found in my program a similar genetic, and I did it. It was the same. It came up to be the same. So that gave me some validation. Being in the medical and medical trained, I always look for validation. Not always easy to do with the biofeedback, but anyway, so, but the biofeedback, I think it's probably about 80% accuracy. I can't say 100%, but the way I've learned to use it, I've been using it since 2011. And just the way that I use it, I try just to get some consistencies. So anyway, and then I also, this last year, I've bought a plasma frequency unit. So I have a plasma bulb back in my office.
What does that do? How does that work?
Royal Rife, actually.
Rife machine type of?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, Royal Rife. They were actually funding, back in the 1930s, they were funding energy technologies on healing. And he was doing research out in San Diego area and was getting actual living tissue. And then he would study the, like he would get like a breast tumor, you know, cancer tumor, something like that. And he would study it under a microscope. And then what he started to do was to apply frequencies to it. And what he would look for was what's called apoptosis, which would actually kill, or it's when you hit the right frequency, then it actually blows it up. It's like the Ella Fitzgerald.
Like ruptures a cell wall and kills the virus.
Correct. Thank you for, yeah. So it's like, I tell people it's like the Ella Fitzgerald, you know, when she hits the note for the champagne glass, then it actually pops it. And they've, mm-hmm. they've brought down bridges and things like that with it. So, but anyway, I'm starting to implement that. Frequencies, and I do have the plasma bulb, and I have it going back in my office now just to kind of demonstrate what it looks like. And but you hold it, so the bulb, and then he healed like, I think it was like 80 something people in 90 days of cancer. So the American Medical Association came in, he had some pretty top dogs, high dollar people in there helping with his research, and then they just quit funding it. They said, we're no longer going to fund it. And they ended up coming in, and I think it was like 1942 or something like that. They came in and they said that that the way the medical was going to be pharmaceuticals, therapy, and surgery. And that was it. And you all know more about that probably than I do. But they destroyed his microscope. It's kind of like the Tesla information. They destroyed him in a sense, and or destroyed his research.
Right.
So
that's, and that seems to be the common theme, as we're working and fighting this war on the level we are. You leave that door open, my friend. It's hot in here. It's really hot in here. As we're fighting this war on one level, mm-hmm. you're fighting on another level against big pharma mm-hmm. and against the big corporate powers of industry, hospitals, and medicine, because they don't want what you have. They don't want to know what you do, because that means it brings down, yeah, it brings down a multi-trillion-dollar operation.
Yeah.
So, well, very honored that you sponsored us, because once again, it's the donors, it's the sponsors, it's all the people that come to the table to help us continue to fight this war.
Okay.
And we're extremely grateful for that. Totally grateful. And I think I'm going to bring over here is the one of my favorite people in the world. I'll have you switch chairs with him so he can come over here. Folks, again, some of you on Revolution Radio, you may not have been able to tune into some of the events that, that we have been putting on, but now's your chance, because this is broadcast worldwide. I have the pleasure, privilege, and true honor bestowed upon me, which I never saw coming, not in a thousand years, not even as Patriot Street Fighter went nuclear, did I ever think, number one, I'd actually get to meet Sasha Stone. I wanted to be on a show with him in the past, but I was afraid to reach out to Charlie or somebody, because I'm not quite sure Sasha would like my style of fighting, because he's this high conscious being. And I thought, yeah, man, I'm a gunslinger. I don't think that's going to work real well with him. So anyways, I was apprehensive about ever asking for that. I knew he was going to come on the tour. We had a separation with another tour. I got a chance to now claim him as one of my true friends. And you know him as the international humanitarian icon. And I do too, but I know him as a friend who's responsible for helping me ascend to a new level. I keep putting this pressure on this guy. He just keeps laughing at me. He thinks I'm bullshitting him, but I'm going to get it out of him one way or another. But to listen to him talk, and I want to give him this stage right now for as long as we have him, because we got 45 minutes before this show's ending. And I want you to have the full force of what he has brought to the world, how he sees this construct that we're working on deconstructing, and giving you his experience from the ground up on why he decided to take on this mission when he had a great life prior to that,
and he's never let his foot off the gas. Again, another Patriot Street Fighter long before I ever came to the table. So, my friend, it is truly, and people know I don't blow sunshine up anybody's ass. I just tell you what I feel. Like, I could just say, hey, man, I love you, bro. Here, go to work. But I need the people to know everything that I think about you. So, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time ever on Revolution Radio, the Tipping Point specifically, this is Sasha Stone, my friend.
Well, God bless you, Scott. We have a copyright issue because I actually pressed live on my Facebook. So I've got you live on my Facebook. Yeah. Who's got the copyright here, pal?
All my stuff is open source. Take it.
And the only other question is, you know, is that a gun in your pocket or you just happy to see me?
Both.
Can somebody hold this and aim this at us, please?
This is what happens.
Just aim that at us, really kindly.
Everywhere I go, I'm heavily armed. You can read into that any way you want.
Well, really, really, really happy to be here. And I know you're not feeling too great today. We all got nailed about 6 days ago, I think. I have to say, it's a little suspicious that Lee Dundas is untouched by whatever plague hit the rest of us.
Human bioweapon, the delivery system.
It's been an absolute delight to be in your shadow in the last 2 months. It's been an absolute delight. I say that with a little bit of mirth, but as I'm constantly asked by people, why am I here? What's kept me here? It's true. When I came to the States, I was on a rather a large glossy ticket. With a sort of multi-million dollar tour, lots of money being offered at the end of that tunnel. That was never a concern or an interest of mine, as you well know. But I did have a rather large, comfortable, luxury coach worth $1 million and all the rest of it. Happily bailed all of that nonsense and went on the road with Lee Dundas and yourself and Dr. Sandra Rosen. Some other speakers who joined us variously, coast to coast, because I believe that what you're doing with Patriot Street Fighter Network is represents the alpha and the omega of the human spirit in America today. And as I've said, on every stage that we've been blessed to grace in the last couple of months, with the tens of thousands of people that we've met, and the tens of thousands of people's spike proteins that we've exchanged.
Shedding.
It has been such a blessing to see and feel this pulse, Scott. You know, everyone knows you move around with a small militia, and I get it. And I think it's needful. I think it's very needful. And I also think that did you not have the paraphernalia that you have around you, I don't think you'd be standing here. But I think when you remind people every day we get on a stage and you remind people that it's not you, it's not us, it's the people of Middle America who are the ones who are making the determination of where this great story unfolds, I think you've got it absolutely bang on. And I also think that the people are your protection. But the Patriot Street Fighter Network is not actually what people think it is. There's a whole lot of bohemian hippie love going on in the Patriot Street. That's the beautiful thing. I mean, I'm a perennial hippie. I've never felt more connected to family and tribe than with this network of folks. And, you know, we've also got the Connecting Consciousness Network and my New Earth Network. You know, but all the coming together of all of these different networks into this flame that we've struck is a transformative and beautiful thing, because it is, we are the ones who are alchemizing the nature of reality by doing what we're doing. Someone asked me yesterday on an interview about protests. Have I been joining in any protests? And I said, well, you know, I've never, I'll be honest, for a frontline activist, I've never, ever been on a protest. And nor have I ever signed a petition, and nor would I, incidentally. Not that I don't think that protests or petitions aren't important. They're very important. But for me, what's more important is frontline activism, is actually find the battlefront. And however you get there, if you've got a leopard crawl there through the snow, you get to that place with a dagger in your teeth. And that's where that's where you stage your fight. I'd made that determination years ago. I'm a war child. I grew up with guns. I'm super comfortable with guns and with hard men. And so I'm happy in this environment. But I just have to say, you're the cuddliest motherfucker I ever met in my life.
He means that in all sincerity. Well, how could I not blend into that, in that energy space? Because when we have, you know, we have this type of unity, this unified field of love, I could keep calling the temporal love bubble, this powerful force of energy that emanates from that single photon of light, brought us all into consciousness. And as I explained here, when you weren't here earlier, people, we've talked about this, that people are actually concerned they're losing their friends, they're losing their family over all this stuff. As I said before, the birth canal is not an identifier of your family, nor your friends. The birth canal is simply a portal of delivery into this third dimension or this third density realm. The true identifier of who your friends and family are is an environment like this, is that we are all coming together like balls of mercury, right back to the center pool. We're all being drawn together. And so now you can identify who your friends are, who your family is, because this is the family that counts. This is a family that's part of the ascension of this ascension being, the Mother Earth. It's not a rock and with a bunch of trees and dirt. It's an ascension being, as is the sun. It's not a ball of fire, all the bullshit they taught us. It's an ascension being, and we're all going through this, or not all of us, but these beings are going through their ascension process. If we want to continue with them, then we are going to be who we are, not who they are. And the greatest thing about it is when people see it from that perspective, they're no longer worried about losing a friend or a family member as somebody close to you. I've been pretty good at this for probably 25 years. I avoid negative like the plague. I always have, and I don't know where that came from, but anybody has a bad attitude, negative, miserable, whatever, I've always just cleared the deck instantly of these kind of people because I know what it does to me energetically. So now when this is happening for all of you, you're getting rid of all these people, or I shouldn't say get rid of them. You're moving them out of your conscious space of thinking. It's not for you to drag them upward. That is their path. If they got to be recycled 25,000 or a million more times, it's their journey. It's not for you to decide. You didn't create them. Therefore, you're not going to guide and direct them. So one of the things that I've learned from Sasha is that as I started making these discoveries, this quantum realm, when I, like people know my story, I walked away from God in 99, literally said, fork you, I'm done, I'm out. Quantum physics became my Bible. I was already into epistemology, metaphysics, philosophies, different religions, trying to figure it out. This brought it all together. You know, I got a sledgehammer to the forehead in life. I was destroyed. That experience helped me come back. That knowledge helped me come back and helped me reconnect, or I should say, not even reconnect, to truly connect with my creator. And those experiences for me were the defining point. I didn't have the luxuries of many people of just being hit with that, and it was always part of them. I had a very tough, long road to get to that point. And now that we see everything happening here, you know, the universe never makes mistakes, never has, never will. Lady across the street just came in here, sat down, stood here smiling for probably 40 minutes. We're doing the show. And she said, I got to tell you this at break time. She goes, I got to tell you this. I just got a call from my husband, said, hey, you know Scott McKay, the Tipping Point? She goes, yeah. She goes, there's a big bus parked right across the street from your office. Right? She's like, what? So she came in and she almost got turned away because we're full. And she said, she goes, it's just no coincidence, are there? I said, absolutely not. There just aren't. So coming from where you came from, we see this now. We are now coming into this vibrational realm that didn't exist 23 years ago or 25 when you started to go down into the underbelly of the beast to try to figure out what the hell's going on. What's it like for you? What was it like then when you started to, I mean, you met some beautiful, wonderful people inside the Vatican, UN, and all these entities. People say, oh, he's deep state, whatever, all that bullshit. So you found out what we would all know in any entity, there's good people embedded everywhere as there are bad people. But you had a chance to actually connect with people that said, hey, Sasha, yeah, inside these institutions, this is the bad shit. And they're the ones telling you, these are good people trying to fix it and fix it from the inside.
Yeah.
So what is it like for you now after 25 long years of the sacrifices you've made to now be here and seeing that your work is truly one of the epicenters of exposure of this information in the world. What's that feel like?
Well, thanks for the question. It's a very gracious one. In the first instance, there's a gross exaggeration. It's not 25 years, it's 24 years. But it is a long time. It's true. It's a very long time. And I've been at it an awful long time. I had this conversation with David Icke, because David I've known since 2007, when he first came in, to visit me in London. And I've always loved the man. How can one not? But David's been at it a lot longer than I have. You know, he's been at it since the 1980s, for God's sake. And I often look to him and this Max Egan and a couple of others out there who've also been at it an awful long time, you know. And I look at those guys and think, Christ, how did you manage that? But then I sometimes reflect on myself and go, God almighty, it's been a long time, actually. I entered with such innocence, because I genuinely believed all people were foundationally good. Now, in the first instance, let me just say, if I am deep state, people should be very happy about that. Because if I'm deep state, we have nothing to worry about, folks. Okay? All right? So pray that I'm deep state. Yeah, that kind of nonsense happens, but that's only because the kind of people who throw stones at people like me are the kinds of people who've never clawed their way out of a slimy basement. But those digital salamanders, which is what I call them, can only project and desecrate the noble journey of others. So I don't pay any attention to them any longer. And I don't think we should even allude to them any longer.
Right.
We should just ignore them. I'm not deep state, but I've got a lot of access and have had a lot of access for a very long time to leadership. And that access I've used. Have I ever accepted coin? The answer is no. Anyone who knows me knows that. Has one been compromised along the way? Hell yes, without any question of doubt. There are certain stories I would like to tell that I honestly dare not tell, not because I'm afraid of reprisals against me, but because I'm genuinely afraid of reprisals against others. I know by now that I am completely protected against these demons, but there are certain things that I have witnessed and I'm not talking about child sacrifice or anything like that, but there's certain encounters that I have had that would chill you to the bone. I have mentioned to you a couple of things. And those are not stories that I particularly want to go into. The point I'm making is, when you are walking through the valley of death, and if you really want to refine that inner lens and to clarify it, and if you truly want to purpose your life to pure truth, you have to be prepared to some great extent, die and be reborn again. There is a death and a rebirth. It's a kind of the Osiris complex. And I think that every human being gets that invitation at some point or another to die to the old and be rebirthed and create, go into a regenesis. And I did go through that. And I went through that fully, eyes wide open. And that's what gave me the strength to become as irreverent as I am. Because when I went through that death experience, it was so painful and it was so awful that I knew that nothing could ever be worse than this, and that gave me the strength and the clarity of mind and the determination in purpose to be able to say, I'm going to walk in back into the valley of death now, because I now have seen, I came close, I've seen that depravity, that darkness, and I'm going to walk into that space, and I'm going to shine in that space, and I'm going to shine with such absence of shame. And I'm going to do what I'm Christed and anointed to do in this world. Now, I'm just speaking for every human here, because I happen to know, I'm that smart that I know that every human being is that Christed being. Once we acknowledge and own our power, once we are sufficiently disidentified from the fiction of our lives, and you see, this is where it becomes hard magic or hard medicine. We have to recognize that we are the ones who permission all that manifests on the hologram of life. And when you get that, you move into supernature. So 90-odd% of humans, arguably, are still stuck in the classic victim syndrome. It's a universal feedback which says, I hurt, and therefore I blame the chair that I banged my head into, or I blame the car that cut me up, or I blame my income bracket, or I blame my parents, or I blame my broken heart on my lover who left me, or I blame the Catholic Church for fucking me up, or I blame the Catholic priest for, you know, whatever it is, we always have this reflex tendency to blame the other and justify our misery on that. And that's what permits the misery to remain. And that becomes calcified, and that moves into embitterness, and that moves into acrimony, and that moves into hatred. And that hatred will come through me as a shitty little bureaucrat sitting in an office. I will hate on people when I pick up the phone. I will hate on them. I will hate them when they come to the cashier's desk and I have to deal with them. I will hate on them if I'm the, you know, this is how it works. This is how the bad medicine, the bad magic just carries on. And an echo, every action echoes throughout eternity. Again, every action echoes through eternity.
Never goes away.
Never. When you really understand the weight of that truth, you start to measure and weigh every action of yours moving forward. And you start to regard as sacred every moment of so-called time. But the point is this, once you have moved into that, away from the victim mode, and you recognize that I steered my soul into this vector of time space 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, I steered my soul into this vector of time space. Nothing was ever done to me, right? I can never blame a circumstance, a relationship, an individual, or a situation for anything that ever happens to me. I must only look to the fabric of my own soul and the frequencies that I conjure in my expression, okay? In this lifetime and in previous lifetimes. And if I'm having a particularly shitty life, then I must accede and acknowledge the fact that for whatever reason, this is the detox. This is where I shed all of that bad character, bad transactions, bad expressions in the past. And the minute you own that, the empowerment that comes in is a beautiful, beautiful thing. So it's really a question of stepping outside of the constriction victim mold, which incidentally, most religious people are indentured into that, which is why they like the Luciferian aspect of the Christian belief, which is the dogmatized one, the one that was weaponized by the Council of Nicaea in the fourth century. And people believe in the negative aspect of Christianity, you know, tooth and claw and all of that stuff. But actually, it's so, we're so much greater than that. So you can choose to move into the expansive and the creative, the immanent, the ineffable, which is actually what we're born to do and to be. Limitless in our creative potential and our capacity to love and be loved. And with that irreverence comes your golden path, your noble path, your Christed nature emerges. And that to me is really what we're on the threshold of doing and being as a species. I don't speak too much about local politics and what have you. I hear the talk, of course, I understand the machinations of it, but I still say that we're still getting dream spelled or mind fucked back into those old patterns of thinking, which is Congresses and Senate. I couldn't give a monkey's tit about a Senate or about a Congress or about an assembly or about a parliament. All of these grotesqueries are part of the problem. They're all part of the collectivist technology that was imposed by a satanic, draconian, alien intervention. So when you get that, why would we even put our attention on restoring any aspect of that foul apparatus? All we should be doing is, and this is answering your question finally, that the new earth, where is it going? We do not have any of that apparatus where we're going as a Christed species, because there is a threshold event coming, and it is soon, where in one golden glittering moment of plasma actualization, we get to see the grand fiction that all of the monotheistic religiosity was the genesis of all the governments. And all the governments are ultimately connected to only three things as I've identified them in 24 years of sobriety. One, spells. two bonds and three synthetic molecules. So I want a Oxbridge academic to lecture, to come and debate me on this. What else has government ever given us other than spells? Spells are the lies, the statutes. Tens of millions of statutes dressed up, ordinances, regulations dressed up as laws. They're not laws at all. There's only one law, which is to move freely upon the surface of the earth, committing no harm, loss, or injury to other living souls, and causing no harm, fraud in our transaction. That's it. One sentence. And yet, we've got 10 million statutes on the books. The 10 million statutes are there to protect the priest bankers and the aliens from us awakening to the truth.
Yes.
Right. So let's just restore our sanity by saying all the spells must be zeroed out. Government equated to spells. The bonds are the papers, all the contracts, the invisible contracts, all, every single piece of paper that you ever signed in this world, ever put your mark to, is a bond, is an invisible contract. Because every time you signed a block, black, capital, letter, form, and then signed it, that was monetized in the U.S. Treasury Department, if you're American, or the Botswana Treasury Department, if you're Botswanan. And you see, you never told that, but all of those government forms and relentless forms that we're filling out are monetized. They are, monies are discharged against your birth bond by the fiction, by the priest bankers who are hiding within the government. Most technocrats and governments know nothing about this stuff. They're just pen pushers, God love them. But the real priest bankers know exactly who they are. Go and speak to the black nobility about that.
The black folk even has that office in the Pentagon.
Yes, it's all those families. Those families are still the ones connected to, you know, they're the core underwriters of. In any event, the point is all of that is the fiction. So government gives us spells and bonds. And the synthetic molecule bit I raise almost in humor, because that is what in the last 100 years, since the Rockefeller Covenant, we've had the weaponization of air, soil, and water, which means the systemic poisoning of every single biological form on this planet. So that's in 100 years. We are all of us distorted mutants, mutants, every one of us, because every one of us has cancer. Every one of us has cancer. Now, not all those cancers are going to splurt out and become something that, you know, causes us to cough up blood. But 2/3 of us are going to die of cancers, and we've all got them. Cancers didn't exist before the Rockefeller Covenant.
Right.
So the poisoning of air, soil, and water through synthetic molecules and through the pharmaceutical agrochemical compact, that is where the kingdom of the devil truly anchored in dystopia into our world. And we have to undo that. The problem is we're all addicted to synthetic molecules. We're all addicted to the poisons. Our microbiomes are craving more Coca-Cola or more donuts or more saturated fats or more sugars or more. This is the problem. So we've got to also recognize that to restore ourselves into that new earth paradigm, we've got a lot of work to do. Individually, we have to disidentify from the spells, the bonds, and the poisons.
You see why there's so much value having him here?
Yes.
Because the picture you get is two things, that it's all encompassing, it's completely comprehensive, the architecture of this matrix to keep us, to trap us. But even more so, I think the most important thing you said is we've allowed all of it. And that's why when I started to learn 40 years ago, almost 5 years ago, about the grotesqueness of the child trafficking, brutal sodomy, rape, murder, you know, cannibalism of kids for adrenochrome. So I said, here's the thing. I cannot allow this. I cannot allow this. And that's why I started this war. And I knew what it meant. I knew when I went down this pathway on this radio show, and my producer will tell you from day one, it was a full-scale attack, AC-30 gunship style. Whoever these people are, whoever their names are, the first day, I called H.W. Bush, the leader of the Fourth Reich, Nazi, war criminal, rapist, child trafficker, drug runner, on the open air, you know.
You didn't like him very much.
No, no. That's my affinity for him. But, and I thought, I wonder how this is going to go. And I thought, you know what? Here's how it's going to go. You have a problem, go fork yourself. Nobody will say this stuff. Nobody will say it to the world. So, and I said many times, I put it on Facebook, here's the evidence, here's the truth. Every one of you now have to pick a side. Nobody gets to sit in the sidelines. all the people that know about the trafficking, nobody can stand down now without being identified as somebody who cares nothing about these kids. Saying nothing, doing nothing, is working for the satanic powers to keep them doing the same thing. It's too controversial. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to get thrown on Facebook or whatever. Like, here's what's going to happen. In the future, when we bring this all down, nobody escapes. Everybody's going to be digitally recognized where they stood when they found out the kids were being butchered. Did they do anything at all? Did they push back on people like us? What did you do? And those people who do not fight this war for these kids, they'll never escape that. Society will never allow them to forget that they were those. Now, quite honestly, I believe that they're not going to be part of the, you know, third to fourth density transition anyways, but in the interim, nobody escapes it. Everybody has to take a stand.
Well, I think you're a little bit, can I just say, you know, when we hit the fifth dimension, I mean, I've got a beautiful mansion waiting there, and I do have a lovely roaring fireplace, and above my fireplace, I've got Herbert Walker Bush's head on a shield.
This here, people say, why do you wear skulls, satanic skulls on your hands, you know? This is Jacob de Rothschild. This is George Soros. When their heads are on a stick and I see it, my war's over. And that's what's going to come of all this. But is there parking for my Harley in that driveway? My friend, I got to tell you, this is what we get every day. Lee and I get this every single day. That the perspective is always, it is an 80,000 foot view, but I've heard components of this message you got, but it changes all the time. It gets deeper. It's more encompassing. So, you know, I can hear this guy talk, and to me, it's the most valuable thing that's ever happened, because I know for a fact that all the work that I've done for many decades to try to get where I have gotten consciously now, and in understanding this whole global structure, it's pale in comparison to how you've framed all of it, the priest bankers, the whole corporate construct of basically burying humanity from corporate documents and papers and how we sign anything, how that is all, I mean, these three components. I mean, to have it, to discover that over this period of time and be able to frame that, articulate in a way that people, and I'm sure everybody here understands that. Now you've heard that, right? Mm-hmm. So now you can see this more clearly. The question is, what are we going to do? What are you going to do? What are you prepared to do? Everybody has to answer this question. Now you know, what are you prepared to do?
Defund the cabal.
All of it. I mean, you have to, right now, with where we are, you have to prepare for battle. You have to prepare for battle.
But pay your taxes one first, way. Just in case.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm not really sure how I'm going to handle that one. But anyway, so I also want to bring in our other pillar of our message, and she knows I call her the blonde broads of God. She rains it down. So, folks, you know we have Lee Dundas on the tour. So I'm going to bring Lee Dundas in here, and I'm going to have you're going to learn about what she has done in terms of taking the battle to the enemy on the child trafficking and the child brothels around the world, being a human rights attorney and getting off her ass, but getting on a plane and traipsing through third world countries to go after these people to rescue kids. This is the actionable machine that the world needs, and we need more of these. So anyways, it's been a great tour. Everybody is completely overwhelmed by not just your message, but the fact that you have fought this battle in a way that few people have the balls to do it. So anyways, let's get a little bit of a viewpoint from Lee Dundas, what she expects to happen from here in her war.
It's a good question. Want me to hold this?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. So, I mean, I was really my eyes were opened to human trafficking when my husband and daughter and I traveled to Southeast Asia. And it's a huge problem over there. Human trafficking is a massive worldwide problem. But the difference between first world countries and third world countries is that in first world countries, you have to really go searching to buy a 7-year-old if you're a pedophile for sex. And in third world countries, you can just go to a bar and order a beer and a burger and a girl by number. Now, I'll take number 13. I'll take number 24. And so it's a much different problem, because it's in your face. And the other thing that makes it very different in some of these third world countries like Thailand, where I do a lot of work, the police in those countries are on a scale of corruption from 1 to 5 or 0 to 5, usually a 4 or 5. So when we were first starting to do the work in Thailand, we were getting an escort from the police, but our intermediary kept referring to the car in front of us as the cop. And then once in a blue moon, it would be the mafia. And I just, you know, I was new to the work. I'm a soccer mom from Orange County. And I'm like, oh, it's really late. You know, there's some translation difficulties. And then I realized quite rapidly the next morning when I said, oh, our escort, the cop from last night looks a little tired. And the liaison said, well, he didn't get off the take until 5 a.m. because his rounds were delayed. So he couldn't go collect all the cash from the brothels until he got done escorting us around town. And there's actually words in these languages for the cop mafia. So when you're waiting for the person who's supposed to prosecute the perpetrators, to prosecute the perpetrators or arrest the perpetrators, and they are on the payroll of those perpetrating, you have a hell of a problem. Because the reason and the way that these people are keeping their daughters out of the brothels and in private school is by being on the take and by being on the payroll of the mafia that's running the brothel. So it's a huge problem. And it's a fundamentally different problem. I'm not saying there's not bad eggs in the police forces in America. There are. But the extent to which you see it and the brazenness with which you see it in Asia is entirely different. I remember sitting in an alley in a town called Sungai Kalak. And there is literally nothing in this town except for child brothels, 140 child brothels by last count. And all of the banks, all of the commercial venues, all of the stores, they have all been converted into brothels, which sell children. So we were sitting in this dirt alley and these two cops, kind of looking like you, Scott, you know, big, buff, handsome guys, hop out and they go, oh, good day to you. You know, good day, Miss America. And they go walking down the alley and they saunter into the first brothel and they're in there for longer than it takes to collect a bag of cash, 15, 20 minutes, because make no mistake, they're not just taking cash out of the brothel, they're taking sexual favors out. So they go in, they come back out and they've got a little Santa sack, you know, it's like a garbage bag and it's getting bigger as they walk down the alley. And so they walk down one side of the alley and they go in every brothel. And they come back out and then they walk down the other side of the alley and they go in every brothel and they come back out. And, you know, when they're walking back to their little SUV Chevy Blazer, whatever the hell they call it in Thailand, it's a Chevy Blazer in our country. I don't know what the model is over there. Same car. They've got a fat little Santa's bag full of cash that they took out of the brothels. And that's problem A in this town. Problem B on this town is it sits on the river that divides Malaysia from Thailand. And they're having a religious war over there, the likes of which you haven't seen since the last time you were in the Mideast. So you've got the radicalized Muslim Malay crowd practicing their suicide bomber skills because they're trying to make, you know, the new heaven on earth there by way of bombing their way to whatever utopia. So you've got that pitted against the Thai Buddhists, who for their part are so pissed off that they're firing back. So you've got this anomalous situation where you've got Thai Buddhist peaceful people going to the target range every day because they need to. And the last year, the last calendar year that they were counting, they had 330 days of bombs going off in this town. So for those of you who are bad at math, that's one bomb a day, basically. And the very first time, I'm not proud. You know, I got into this work. It wasn't something I necessarily intended, but I got into this work. I just started doing this work. And this very nice minister who's finished by way of Australia, who has an outpost in Chiang Mai, was doing work in the south of Thailand. And he goes, you got to go with me sometime. And I'm like, oh, yeah, let's go. Right? Here I am, soccer mom from Orange County. And my husband's like, do you have any idea where you're going or what goes on there? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. It's where this minister I'm working with, this pastor, goes to do work. I don't know. He invited me. He goes, maybe you should research it, honey, like you're a lawyer, right? I'm like, yeah, I guess. So I go up, I do a little research on the internet in the hotel, and I don't find anything. There's nothing about this town. And so I go up to the guy who speaks fluent English. He's a Thai guy, but he was raised in international schools. And I go, do me a favor. Can you research the Thai language papers and tell me what you find about this town? So he walks out. He comes back in 10 minutes later. And he goes, can I speak freely? And I said, yeah, of course. That's, I want you to. And he goes, ma'am, I was born and raised here. I am Thai. I'm male. I speak the language fluently. And you couldn't pay me to go where you're going. 330 bombs go off. It is the most unsafe place ever. So I called up the pastor, not one of my finer days. And I begged off. I said, I'm so sorry. Something came. I can't go. And then I flew back from Thailand to America. It's a 23-hour flight at best, 33 hours at worst or more. Cried all the way home, put my daughter to bed, reading the story to her. She's 8 years old. She's fallen asleep in my armpit. I'm looking at the little, you know, planets on her ceiling, and I'm bawling. Tears leaking out of the side of my eyes, shaking, trying not to wake her up as she's sleeping in my armpit. And I realized sitting there, laying safe in my daughter's bedroom in Orange County, California, that I was making zero difference in the planet. Corporate lawyers, dime a dozen. People who will get off their duff and go to Southeast Asia and fight back against the brothel trade and radicalize Islamic terrorists who are bombing the hell out of the town for practice every day, not so frequent. So I got up the next morning. I called the pastor back. I said, I will be back the next time I'm there. And we got off the plane. We drove from, or we rode from Bangkok down to Narathiwat province. And you get off this little airplane and you go down the little stairs on the tarmac and you pick up your bags. And by the time you turn around, the plane has done a U-turn at the end of the runway and it is wheels up back to Bangkok. And the pastor looks at me and he goes, that was your ride out. Are you all right? They're not coming back for 23 and a half more hours. And I'm like, sure, I'm good. And then we get in the car and the guy's going like 100 freaking miles an hour. And I'm like, okay, I'm old now. I don't ride my car at 120 miles an hour, but I did when I was a kid. I remember what this feels like. We are going at the speed of freaking light for being in some no-name Japanese car in Thailand, right? And I look over at the pastor, and I'm like, giving him the like side eye, and he goes, do you want me to explain? And I said, yeah. And he goes, so the way the bombers work is they hide behind rubber trees, and they wait for a good-looking target car. And I said, I was somebody with like Caucasian people in it or military or cops. And he goes, exactly. And then they remote detonate. And I looked at the guy and I said, so you're just outrunning his trigger finger. And he goes, yep. And I'm like, keep it floored. And then we get to the brothel town and I'm like, praise Jesus. 3 hours later, I made it. And I realized, oh, there's no hotels in this town. I'm sleeping in a brothel tonight. With rats that are bigger than mice, and the rats are, sorry, rats that are bigger than cats. And I mean, it's just crazy. I saw a rat chasing a cat down an alley and I'm like, what the heck did I sign on for? But I got to tell you, it makes for great conversation at the PTA lunches. You know, they say, can you bring the baked goods next week? And you say, no, I'm going to be sleeping in a brothel in Thailand. Sorry, I'll have to beg off on that. But I wouldn't trade it for the world. Because when you get done doing that work, you actually feel like you've done something. And we need to do something. I know my time is almost up here, but human trafficking is the single fastest growing crime and the second largest crime on the planet, because there is more profit in selling 7-year-olds to sex buyers than there is in selling cocaine to addicts. You sell coke to an addict and he likes it. I need to go buy more from her tomorrow to sell more to you tomorrow. And that gets into my profit margin. I got to buy product. I sell a 7-year-old to one of you, you like it, you come back tomorrow night, you want to buy another child. I don't need to buy another child to sell you another child. I rent her over and over and over until she dies. And the average life expectancy per the FBI here in America is 7 years, 8 years from the time they're turned out, which on average is age 12, which means the girls here who are involved in the human trafficking slave trade are dead or dying by the time they can vote. And I am here to tell you that the situation in Asia is way worse, because the average age at which they are turned out in Asia is way worse. So we have a huge problem. And the way we address it is we kill the demand. No offense to the men in the room. Most of the demand is coming from one sex. I don't believe in 27 genders. It's coming from one. And when you teach people when they're young that you don't ever buy people, not for sex, not for anything else, you kill the demand. And the big mafias and the small-time gangbangers go back to selling cocaine to addicts instead of children to sex buyers. So we kill the demand and we make felonies out of the people who are committing crimes. You quit arresting the girls. The girls, you know, why is it that you can't consent to have sex under the age of 18, but you can arrest a child at 12 for being a child prostitute because somebody's taking money for making her have sex? That doesn't make any sense at all. You quit arresting the victim. You take her nearest SARS unit. You go get sexual abuse reporting, the whole nine yards done on her. And then you go back and arrest the guy who was buying and you call it a felony. You don't send him to John school and treat it like a traffic stop. you send him off for 7-10 years for a felony, along with the guy who was selling. And when Sweden made the move to that, because they have a more than 51% female-led legislature, guess what it did to sex crimes in that country? Dropped it like a hot rock. You don't have a human trafficking problem anymore in the Nordic countries, because those boys know that if they're going to play ball and they get caught, they're going down. So they go to places like, you know, the rest of Europe, Asia, America. So you make a big damn stink of it. St. Petersburg, Florida did it right. They had a name and shame program. This you're going to like this, Scott, because I know this is how you roll. So they decided they were going to start putting the names of the guys they arrested in stings on billboards.
Freaking awesome.
That was move number one. Move number two is Mrs. John Doe got a letter the Monday after her husband was out fooling around on the wrong side of town that said, "Dear Mrs., we thought you'd like to know that your husband was picked up in a human trafficking sting for buying children for sex. You might want to route yourself to the nearest STD clinic." Something like, I forget what the stat is. I haven't looked at it in probably 7 years. Like, it was like a 25 or 50% drop like the next month. So there are ways that you can handle the human trafficking issue, but the primary way we handle it is we educate all of our children, boys, girls, and everything in between, for the people on the left, that you just don't ever buy people. Not for profit, not for any reason, not for sex. And you treat people with the respect that they are entitled to by virtue of being a human being on this planet. And when you treat people like you would like to be treated, you don't have a problem anymore.
Well, I'm glad folks who here tonight on the Tipping Point had an opportunity to hear this story. I would say this, personally, I think a bullet to the head is better justice for me. My consciousness hasn't risen enough yet to get beyond that. I hope I do, but I would certainly make it a bullet to the head. But so from this point forward, I mean, you have other plans happening in your world now. Do you see yourself making any trips like that? Back over to that country, or, you know, how do you see that playing out?
I think
raids here in the States, because I know those are going on.
Yeah, I think the name of the game is raids here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
The travel is so difficult right now that if you're spending more time traveling than you are doing good on the ground, it kind of makes it not a cost efficient exercise, mm-hmm. or a time efficient one. But there is as much trafficking going on. You know, any city that has a hotel has a human trafficking problem. Period. Full stop. You think, oh, I don't have a trafficking problem. No, you do. If you've got one single motel or hotel in your city, you have a human trafficking problem. So there's plenty of work to do stateside or minimally on this continent and the islands that are off this continent. And you and I have been meeting up with some cool people lately.
Yeah.
And we're going to see one of them this Wednesday, Jason Cisneros,
yeah.
who does a lot of work to fight human trafficking as well. He's going to be in Brentwood, Tennessee at 5:30 with us at
Excellent.
The Maple Lawn Estate in Brentwood. And he's going to talk to the crowd more about human trafficking. And I think there's a lot of room for not just you and I to get involved here stateside, but for all of you guys who are here in the room with us and listening to this. You know, people are like, oh, you know, I'm a graphic designer. How can I get involved? I'm like, let me tell you, babe, the nonprofits doing human trafficking work need logos. They need graphics. And every dollar they don't spend paying an outside vendor to do their graphics, to do their taxes for the year, if you're an accountant, to do their whatever, is money they can spend saving girls. So don't think for a second that just because you're in an unrelated or disrelated profession that you can't contribute to something. Even if you don't want to go sleep in a brothel and rescue girls directly, take whatever skills you do have, donate them to your nearest nonprofit who does this work, and you'll be helping the girls just as thoroughly and as efficiently as if you were actually on the ground yanking them out of the brothel. But yeah, I think there's a lot of work to do, and I think we're going to be doing it soon.
Yeah, no question. I'm Jason Cisneros, a special person in my world, because he was the one that turned me onto the quantum physics track a number of years ago. And we came together again here just recently by chance. But it's going to be great to have him. There are people like him that are out there funding these operations to take these scumbags down. I just got this picture from Pastor Dave. That's the AR they gave General Flynn. These two guys right here, they own Cobalt Kinetic, black gun manufacturers. Is their day job. Nighttime, they do high-risk raids on child traffickers and pedophiles. And look at these guys. These guys are absolute forking badasses.
Yeah.
How'd you like to see that kicking your door down?
If you're a girl trapped, you definitely want to see that kicking your door down.
I don't know, but these actions are happening all over the place. Jason, actually, again, he's independently wealthy, and he does things to fund these kind of operations and goes on those raids himself. So it's pretty remarkable. Some of these people will put their mouth where their money is, and they'll go to war. Ladies and gentlemen, Scott McKay here. Glad to have you tonight out here on the road, on the tour, this Patriot Street Fighter Arise Freedom Tour. This is the High Octane Full Throttle Truth Hammer. We'll come back next week, and we will continue this war. Have a great night.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
You got held up. Still out there?
You going back in?
There's still men out there. God damn. When I go home, people ask me, hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? You're some kind of war junkie? I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. That's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Number one listener supported radio. The printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is